This is The Takeaway. I'm Amy Walter. Thanks for being with us. Feels like a couple of years now, but it's been less than 2 weeks since the midterm election ended. The story now, R&R. That's recounts and recriminations. In Florida, the writing was on the wall from the very beginning. Take a listen to Adam Smith, the political editor of the Tampa Bay Times, talking on this show the week before the election.
The great thing about Florida is these races are always so close. Tens of thousands of votes could make the difference. There are unlimited numbers of people to blame for losses and wins. And we've been doing that in Florida ever since the 2000 election.
And the echoes of 2000 can be heard loudly.
CNN announces that we call Florida in the Al Gore column.
Stand by. CNN right now is moving our earlier declaration of Florida back to the too close to call column. It's 2 o'clock Eastern time. CNN declares that George Walker Bush has won Florida.
We all know how that story ended, a final decision from the Supreme Court.
Seven justices of this court.
Seven justices here.
Have agreed that there are constitutional problems
with the recount
ordered by the Florida Supreme Court.
They're saying it's unconstitutional.
Effectively ending it here.
Since then, Florida ditched the old voting machines, so no more hanging chads. But once again, the state has found itself in an electoral mess. On Thursday by 3 p.m., all counties had to submit their machine recounts, but two counties fell short of the deadline. And Broward County missed the deadline by 2 minutes when a worker failed to upload the results in time. The process of uploading took 17 minutes. The worker started the upload at 2:45 p.m. From Democrats, the line has been, count all the votes.
I'm simply asking that every single vote that was legally cast be counted.
They're trying to shut down the election because they're afraid of the consequences if they don't. In other words, a Nelson victory. Every vote should be counted.
But Republicans say the prolonged process is akin to fraud.
I mean, it looks like they're going to do everything they can to steal this election.
The reason why election lawyers get involved is to make sure as many votes as possible for their client is counted and as many votes as possible for their opponent is disqualified.
President Trump weighed in during a Daily Caller interview, saying without evidence that illegal voters, quote, go to their car, put on a different hat, put on a different shirt, come in and vote again, unquote. So where does all this rhetoric about elections being stolen leave the public's confidence in the process? David Smiley is a political reporter at the Miami Herald. Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing?
David, I think I speak for a lot of people around this country who are asking this, WTF, what the Florida?
Well, Florida's electorate is really split, and that's why we are in overtime of the elections process. Top of the ticket races have, over the last three cycles, been decided by 1 point or less in elections where 6 million and this year 8 million people have voted. And under our state laws, when the results are within a half of a percentage point, which they were for three races this year, three statewide races, it goes to this insane recount process, which obviously, you know, made Florida the butt of a lot of jokes 18 years ago and seems to be doing the same thing again. I guess the good news is it looks like we may be nearing the end of the process, unlike the 2000 elections, which happened under no real statewide guidance for what to do in recount situations and kind of went on a lawsuit-by-lawsuit basis. This time around, because of that election, we have laws guiding the process. I guess, fingers crossed, knock on wood, maybe we'll be done in a couple of days. But there are going to be some more legal decisions coming to see whether that's going to be the case or not.
So after the 2000 election debacle, changes were made that you're saying have actually made this process more efficient than it would have been had we seen Florida follow the rules pre-2000?
Yeah, I don't know if they've made it more efficient, but they've at least created deadlines to operate and have, you know, a sense of when things have to be done by. So I think we know that the recount process has been chaotic. It's certainly exposed flaws or inaccuracies to some extent in some of the counting process under elections departments, which are all under a magnifying glass. And in South Florida, where the Tri-County area of Palm Beach County, Broward County, and Miami-Dade has more than 2 million people casting votes. We've definitely seen questions about whether the recounts actually made the count less accurate, as vote tallies actually dropped in the numbers that were submitted or attempted to be submitted, I should say, yesterday, with Broward County missing a deadline by 2 minutes when their employee couldn't figure out how to navigate the state's website. So it's still been a muddled process, but at least this time around, there are laws saying what has to be done and when.
But given, David, given how many voters live in those counties, and as you said, we know that Florida elections are always really, really close, shouldn't Florida then expect that this kind of close race where we're going to have last-minute ballots coming in will be pretty normal and they should expect to be able to handle this?
Yeah, I think that's a fair expectation. And in Palm Beach County, the election supervisor's machines, her tabulating machines, are old and were unable to handle the burden of rerunning hundreds of thousands of ballots after having just run them for the election. And I think that's an indictment on their planning. They apparently set aside $11 million to buy new equipment, but that was going to happen after this election. Bad decision, I guess, to wait. And Broward County, you know, Miami-Dade County seems to be doing fine, but Broward County also has had a bunch of problems. And yeah, I mean, given that all the people watching the process and involved in it seemed to have a good sense that this was going to come down to close margins, it's not crazy to think that the election supervisor should have been better prepared, especially in Broward and Palm Beach.
Let's talk about Broward County. Brenda Snipes, who's the Broward County Election Commissioner, has been the target of a lot of the blame for this process. Does she deserve the blame?
Yeah, she does. As a human being, frankly, I feel bad for her. I feel bad for anyone who's sort of, you know, getting the ire of the entire country. And there's been a circus outside of her headquarters for about a week now. You know, there's no evidence that there's been widespread fraud in Broward County. We have all these allegations that there's ballot stuffing. And yet when the recount totals were attempted to be submitted, Bill Nelson actually lost more votes than Rick Scott lost. And so Rick Scott gained a couple hundred votes on him. And then suddenly the allegations from Republicans became that Broward County was intentionally not turning in its recount numbers to help Bill Nelson not lose those votes, which one thing is not like the other. So the arguments were changing. But on the other hand, Brenda Snipes has a well-documented history of problems, either ignoring or not knowing about state laws and what her department could do. And she's done a very poor job of explaining from the jump what her department was doing and how many ballots were to be counted, why she had so many ballots coming in after Tuesday night when some candidates thought they'd already won, thousands of mail-in ballots that were being counted into the early hours of Wednesday morning after the election resulted largely in the governor's race going to recount and in a statewide agriculture commissioner race actually flipping from the Republican to the Democrat. And there are state laws that require Snipes and other election supervisors to report their numbers every 45 minutes, which she wasn't doing. She couldn't say how many ballots were left to be counted. And those are serious problems. She, you know, part of her job isn't just counting the ballots, but also ensuring that there's trust in the process. And she seems to have done a bad job on both counts.
Well, do you think that the integrity of the entire process in the state then has been undermined? And what do voters that you're talking to in the state, how are they going to process this going forward about trusting the state to accurately count the votes that have been cast?
I think the political rhetoric has undermined the process more so than the actual process itself. To have the governor of the state, without evidence, accuse election supervisors of massive fraud, to have the president making absurd claims that people are voting and then wearing disguises and coming back and voting again. These are people in prominent positions of power who are actively undercutting the elections process, and that's concerning. But yeah, I think voters here are really frustrated. There are thousands of voters who are learning now that, you know, maybe their votes were thrown out and now they have a chance to cure them, and they're trying to figure out how do they go and fix their signatures on their mail-in ballots and provisional ballots that caused them to be rejected in the first place? So, I think this is really offering a very acute window into some of the flaws of the process, or just some of the underbelly, maybe that's a strong word, but for the elections process in the state of Florida. And it's not quite as clean as everybody hoped it would be.
Yeah, David, that's a good point, which is part of it is this expectation setting. Some of it is done by the media as well, that election day is election day. And by the end of election day, we have an answer. Here's the winner and here's the loser. How much does that play into these allegations of fraud and the back and forth about who's trying or doing something nefarious? If we just told voters that, yes, this is election day, but it's going to take a long time to count all the different kinds of votes that come in, that maybe they would not feel as if there's something going wrong when we don't have an answer on election night.
I think that's a great point by you. And I do think that that is something that the media reporters have to own, that we absolutely do say, hey, it's election night, and we call the races. I had a story on Tuesday night after Andrew Gillum conceded, explaining how he lost, and horrifically by Wednesday night realized that he hadn't officially lost yet, and that there was a recount coming, and we had to have an internal debate about, well, he's probably not going to flip the race in the recount, so he's almost certainly going to lose, but he hasn't lost yet. You know, do we need to? Should we leave the story up? Do we take it down? We left it up because he was so far behind Ron DeSantis, despite the narrow margins, that he wasn't going to flip it. But we absolutely tell people that races are won and lost. I think we project that it's a Tuesday night, a one-night affair. And obviously the deadlines for the unofficial results are several days later. And probably if we'd done a better job of explaining the amount of time that goes into actually counting all of the ballots, normally these things don't matter that much because the races are far enough apart that the stragglers, those last votes, aren't going to sway things one way or the other. But in this case, when they did, I do think the lack of explanation on how long the process actually takes fed into some of the insanity that's gone on around it.
David Smiley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
David Smiley is a political reporter at the Miami Herald. So to recap, here's where we are. On Sunday, there's a deadline for manual recounts. Then the election results must be certified by Tuesday. The candidates, though, still have time to launch legal challenges.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.